gentlemen, for joining us at tonight's comic book club. Here are your hosts, Pete LeMay, Justin Tyler, and Alex Dalvin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman.
Boothman! Nice!
All right. This is a Boothman crowd.
That's pretty soon, we're going to be doing tech and he's going to be doing this shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What?
Right, pretty soon.
He doesn't even read comics. He doesn't know too much tech.
So, speaking of comics, this weekend was Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah!
Do you know what I'm a little tired of?
What?
Talking about comics. Yeah. Just a little bit. So let's do a comic book talk show.
Did you guys all go to Comic-Con? Who went?
Yeah, well, all right.
A lot of hands. Hard for us to see hands. That's good.
What did everybody think of it? Who went? Good?
Sweet.
Why don't we do some favorite moments?
Favorite moments from the con? Yeah. Justin?
I got to interview Neil Gaiman. And kind of fell in love with him a little bit.
It was actually, I was sitting like 2 feet away, and this is, Neil Gaiman's like, wait, I'm talking about some interesting stuff with CBLDF, and this is Justin.
Pretty much the entire time. And I later wrote in my journal, I couldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you what I wrote in my journal. My Neil journal.
I was pretty excited about talking to Jeff Johns. We sat down with him. At end of the day, talk to him, talking, interview him.
For 25 minutes.
25 minutes, we're talking with him. And eventually, I'm like, all right, let's wrap up the interview. The producer is like, okay, that was 20, great 25 minutes, guys. And I was like, wow, we didn't even get to talk about Superman. And he was like, oh, you want to talk about
Superman? He's like, turn the cameras back on.
Turn the cameras back on. We want to talk about Superman.
35 minutes later, Alex fell in love.
I wrote it down in my Jeff journal.
Oh, nice. I would have to say, during one of the Comic Book Club variant stage shows, MC Chris was performing, and everyone had started to crowd around the stage. And while he was doing his Boba Fett song, there were all these people dressed as like Star Wars people, and you know, obviously comic book people. And there was two slave Leias housing a Predator Jedi. And Chewbacca was just like this in the background. And I was like, yes.
You're like, thank you. Comic-Con.
I was like, yes, that it's worth it.
Not
it's
too many places you'll see that.
No.
Fetish clubs.
We'll see it next year, of course. We missed all of you guys. We're very glad to be back here for Comic Book Club. Yeah. Thank you for coming out 2 days later to talk comics again with us. I'm very excited about the guests we have
here
tonight.
Hell yeah.
We have two great guests for you, a comedian and a comic book writer. Ladies and gentlemen, Eliza Skinner and Chris Claremont! Yeah! Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I'm very excited to have you here. Don't worry, you can't see them.
Ignore them.
It's cool.
Oh, wow, noise from the dark.
We installed some sound stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. Still
yeah, that's cool. We like to lower everybody's expectations as soon as they get out here. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Chris, I guess we'll start with you. So,
Age before beauty.
We'll start with Eliza. Eliza, what is it like writing New Exiles?
Well, at this point in my career, it's like phoning it in.
Hello.
Seriously though, Chris, New Exiles.
I'm sorry, started. The line is busy.
Tell us a little bit about the book for the people in the audience who aren't reading it. Why is it New Exiles?
Well, it's about 8.5 inches tall by 7 inches wide. And it has a number of separate pages.
Perfect.
All right.
Yes, there we go.
Great sizing.
Now you know why my career has not gone forward.
Yeah.
Why is it New Exiles? Basically because it's a cheap, gratuitous, and altogether willingly silly marketing stunt. It's like we have a new writer, we have a new artist, we have a new team. What can we? The book's been around for 100 issues. What could, we could either do 101, or we could get a rather interesting sales bump from going back to the beginning and starting over. So we management got together, put its heads together, and boom, we're starting over again. This way we have nowhere to go but up. We hope.
What draws you particularly to the exile side? Other than the size.
Well, I was going to say no return ticket, but that's... basically, the idea is you can... that there are no restrictions. You can make up... We have, as our setting, everything. Other than the teeny tiny, marginally relevant Marvel universe. We can create any set of worlds, any set of situations, any set of heroes, and essentially in 1 to 4 issues, blow the living Dickens out of it. Uh-huh.
Dickens. You can swear here. We're all friends.
Oh shit. the challenge and the fun is that we can invent everything. I mean, the first issue we decimated half the world. The second arc, we have a world where the British won the Revolutionary War, but lost the Napoleonic War. So, 200 years later, the French rule Europe, and the British have retreated to North America, and they're picking up where they left off. We have an arc in the wings where the Wild West never faded away, and did we mention there are Martians? It's the point is that we can throw in any mix of situations, of characters, of realities. A world perhaps where North America was colonized by the Chinese, where the Indians never relinquished control to the Europeans, where Africa expanded north into Europe, where the Martians did eat everybody. And what you have are the 5 or 6 survivors sitting around kind of going, is it our turn now? I mean, we have a world where, actually this is the next scenario we're playing with, there are two sets of heroes, the Sons of Iron and the Daughters of the Dragon. The Daughters of the Dragon are obviously Misty, Colleen, and a bunch of incredibly average-looking platinum blondes. And the Sons of Iron are obviously Iron Men, but they're not all human, because this is a world where humanity evolved in parallel with the dinosaurs. So you have sentient dinosaur civilizations, sentient human civilizations, but the whole point of the Sons of Iron is you're not supposed to choose sides, so they all look like iron men, for want of a better term. But you don't know whether the person wearing it is a human or a dino. So we can... The point is you can make up any scenario you like. You can have Vulcans, you can have, you know, whatever, and run with it and see what happens. So we have a lot more variety, a lot more potential than the regular series. Notice I come from the age where you're paid by the word.
Well, I mean, I think there's something interesting there in terms of... with this book, that you can write anything, but also it's a little over 100 issues in at this point. So there's already a lot of whatever you want that's been done. So how do you make sure that whatever you're doing next is as distinct as possible?
Well, he gets paid by the word too.
I mean, the cheap gratuitous answer is, you know, you get to be me. you do what any writer does when you're faced with a situation, which is come up with something new. The interesting difference between what we're trying now and what was done before is that Exiles played very much with the tropes of alternate Marvel universes that we've seen before, that have been touched on before, over in and around worlds that just popped out of whole cloth, but they were all based on fundamental realities of the universe, the characters as we know them. I think what we're trying is anything goes. Don't expect to see variations on the Fantastic Four or the Avengers, or if you do see variations on the Avengers, they might be descended from insects. You know, the that, for instance, the newest member of the team, Gambit, is nothing like the Gambit we're used to seeing on Earth. For one thing, now he's a good guy, which evidently is not the case anymore. But he's his father is Namor. So in an upcoming arc, he's on a world, and he meets Atlanteans. And he runs into his grandmother, except in this world, she isn't his grandmother. She's responsible for keeping the pesky human race in line. So there's a moment of, like, you're not my grandson. You're the wrong color.
And he, my grandmother's like that, too.
Yes, but... No, I won't go that far. But on the other hand, there is something. And so it's an interesting twist on their own perceptions of self. At some point, he's going to have to run into a Gambit who's a villain. And what will that mean? Or an Atlantis that's the enemy of the surface world.
But then why mutants? Why X-Men? Why are they the ones that are traveling up into these different worlds?
Because X is a really, really saleable letter.
I know. W.
And no one has ever accused comic book publishers of being slow on the uptake. I mean, that's...
DC, people are saying that a lot lately.
Dude,
there you are.
See, they're so high up in the letter scale that they're above the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The atmosphere. They're down here with the nitty gritty.
Also, their offices are.
Were there a lot of X words that were considered for titles and were come out?
See, that's a Stan question. Unfortunately, he's in California. I don't know. I mean, it has the virtue of being down. I mean, actually, my kids asked me that, and I ran through the lower half of the alphabet. Okay, Z-men? Yeah. Y-men? Ugh. I mean, Q-men. And then you throw in an occasional vowel, O-men. That's too bad a pun. But,
too bad for Stan Lee?
Yeah. T-men, the government, the feds have got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just X sort of marked the spot.
Oh, there it is. Oh, I love that.
It's a leftover from talking to Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, we're going to talk a little more about X-Men and work on it in a second.
Oh, God, no.
Sorry. But let's turn it over to Eliza for a little bit. How are you doing, Eliza?
I'm good.
Sorry.
Great. Anything new in your life? I know you didn't get to go to the con this weekend.
I didn't. It was sad. I went to the Oberlin Improv Festival instead. My improv group was, sort of. We got hired to go out there, and I was talking to my partner. My improv group is just two of us. And so I was talking to my comedy partner and was like, man, we're missing everything this weekend. We're missing Comic-Con, we're missing the roller derby opening, and we're missing Passover. And she was like... It's like, maybe those things aren't that important to us, to Christian girls. Those things. Okay, yeah, great. But it felt like I was missing everything. It felt like a really bad weekend I had to leave.
Yeah, well, it was. All right, and it is time for our first section, which we like to call the stack. As promised, first thing we're going to talk about is the first issue of X-Men Divided We Stand. Pass it over to you guys if you want to take a look. What'd you guys think about this issue, first off?
I thought this was great, because here we see... wait a second. Here we're seeing the X-Men broke up, and we get to see a couple stories about different X-Men, kind of what it's like to be without their friends in their little clubhouse.
Aww.
It's sad, right? And there are a couple great stories in here. There's... Scotty Young story?
Yes. You have a question?
Yeah.
This is the little clubhouse that's been thoroughly and completely and irrevocably destroyed at least 7 times in the last 3.5 months.
Yes, Ben.
Okay, just check.
That's my point exactly.
Well, now they really don't have it.
It's getting so hard to live near New York.
Yeah, Westchester County is a war zone.
Upstate New York is crazy.
I don't even drive past.
Yeah.
No.
The Clintons. Anyway.
What? You just said two words.
That is so bushy.
Yeah. You love puns! You love them! There's also a great scalp hunter story in here, which is really cool. That's a character you don't hear about.
That's right.
Those are easy.
Exactly.
Great minds think alike.
Seems like a few of these are characters, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's the idea, is to give you not like, what does Wolverine think about this? What does Cyclops think about this? It's the peripheral characters, and how does this affect them? And on that note, take it on its own merit, I think it's fine. Generally, I think with short story collections, you get some that are good, some that are okay, some that are bad. Scotty Young's story in here is great, I think, really well done, dealing with one of the new X-Men characters. But on a whole, it is that whole problem. I have the same problem Pete does, that... X-Men broke up. Really, I'm supposed to be upset about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
live in the now. So what? They might get back together.
Might.
Come on,
dude.
They might.
I'm not going to be like, oh God, I don't think they'll make it. Of course they will. This is ridiculous.
It's a waste. It's probably run its course.
Maybe the essence of the X-Men, the true heart and soul of the concept is, what's the phrase? In exile.
Wow. I see.
Let me ask you a question about the current plot lines, I guess, in X-Men. I mean, how much do you follow them now, and how much do you...
Ooh, yikes.
Yay, that was a little...
Somebody else asked a question. Yeah.
follow them is a very apt way of describing it. Since Jordan and I were discussing the fact that I get my comp copies about... Right now I'm getting the Thanksgiving issues. So I'm a little...
Don't read that then.
Behind the curve, as it were. Oh, for God's
sake. What?
Oh, just remembering a certain character when she was single.
Nice.
Not really.
She
was then.
I dated her too.
What?
Nothing.
I mentioned no names. How
so, but do you have to editorially? Do you have to follow kind of what's going on, or
no,
is
I'm
exile?
An exile.
Yeah. So you don't at all.
No, we make it up.
Oh, nice.
We lie about everything. That's why we can have a situation where Storm rules half of Africa, and well, actually, I shouldn't say Storm. I should, you know, it's not really Storm. It's Aurora, and her sweetie is Short.
Oh.
And
nice.
Sort of from.
Could be
up north. But the point is that
Pete,
you know, occasionally you can just get too in love with continuity, and then I mean, with the amount of characters and the amount of concepts that were left when Grant took a powder back to the Dark Empire, or up north as we like to say, in Manhattan. He left this tremendous font of concepts and possibilities that we could, that as writers and conceptualists, we could have played with. You may not like the fact, and I didn't, that the X-Men were public, but okay, it was there. We have a world where there are millions of mutants. They're trying to cope. Let's play with it. Where can you go with this? What can you do with it? What are mutants like? You know, what you could do character... You could start exploring the character and story possibilities in South America, in Africa, think of China. It's 1.3 billion people. There are 1.3 billion people in India. A few of them you have to figure ought to be mutants. Mm-hmm. What if they run into each other? Maybe there's a reason the Himalayas are like a wall between the two of them. I mean, it was God's way of saying, no interaction, not one of your mutants. I mean, it's just a thought. But
I heard
it's something
that passage
of
the Bible.
But
I like that.
It's sort of like the back end. But the point is that there are all these things to play with, all these potential directions to go with, that we whose stories have sort of been locked into this America-centric mode for so long, it was an opportunity, and I think it's regrettable that we let it slip past.
had ended rather quickly after we finished.
Well, that's a management editorial decision. That's we peons down in, you know, down in working on the at the keyboards don't really pay attention to that, except when it runs us over. But I know this is going to be a boring reference again, but that's the nice thing about Exiles is that you can take all these potentials and all these possibilities and all the ideas that once you just rejected because it wasn't the sort of thing the X-Men did or the world did, and you can play with them and see if they're viable or not viable, and if we can perhaps entice 5 readers this issue, 10 readers next issue, 20 readers the issue after, and see where we can go with it.
Well, you do have the regular continuity Psylocke on the team, is that?
Yeah, and Sage.
You love them. You're in love.
I love all my characters. I love the ones that Len created and that I took over, the ones that Dave created that were just breathtaking, the ones that John created. I mean, it's like they're, like it or not, I did 17 solid years the first time. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, to quote Pacino. You can't know good characters like that for as long as that and not, A, come away with affection for them, and B, want sometimes too desperately to see what happens next, where you go, what you do, what you can play with.
I definitely agree with what you're saying, and I also agree with the fact that this comic is dumb.
Wow.
Great feat.
Great transition.
I feel like that's what he's getting at.
Now, if you want to see real insults, I'll show you my emails. Oh, no, they're ruthless online, I'll tell you.
Oh, we know.
It's true.
All right, we're going to move on a little bit and talk about Batman Death Mask number 1, which is a manga-influenced Batman story.
Yeah.
Pete, you didn't like this. Why?
You're damn right I didn't. I'm starting to get into manga, and I feel like, hey, this was a cool idea. Let's see what Batman's like if he's manga'd out. And, hey, I didn't like it.
Well, what didn't you?
I'm getting to that.
Well, I mean, so far what you said was I didn't like it because it turned out that I didn't like it.
Thank you for the recap. So, as I was saying, I thought I might like the fact that it's black and white, but I just didn't like the transition from what I know as Batman to the manga version of Batman, as well as the other characters. I feel like manga has a certain way of telling a story and a certain way of doing things, and I felt like, to me, my Batman world manga'd out was kind of lamer and a little cheaper, and his crotch was drawn weird.
Very, very bad point.
You have like half the books, though, don't you?
What's that?
Nothing.
Can I ask a question?
No.
Okay, I understand that, you know, you're reading this sort of
backwards.
Back to front. Well, right to left.
Right.
So, David, during the as pose I of President Wayne Enterprises, it all other for do wouldn'ts?
Yeah, they've drawn a weird.
I'm confused.
Some things are totally backwards, and then some things are.
If you're reading from right to left,
yeah,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think they tried to compromise a little bit for their. Maybe not, because I think a lot of books do this that are manga. They're like, you read it backwards, isn't that cute? Buy it, and you'll be like a manga fan. And then they're like, actually, just read it.
There is a reason for it. There's not a reason for it in this one. The reason for it in general is that in the original printing, it's right to left, so that oftentimes, if you're going to go and flip the image, the characters will be looking the wrong way.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So the sight lines and things like that will match up.
Oh!
In this case,
the panel structure is right to left.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's not. It doesn't.
Yeah, this one's a little weird.
His
head's
going to
explode.
Been there, done that. It's not a lot of fun.
The thing about the story is, I think the story is a totally fine Batman story. The manga art is totally fine. there's just no big reason to make a big deal about this being a manga Batman tale.
What I don't like is this: the villain cuts people's faces off, and he cuts them off like here, and then they just slide off.
I was trying to explain this to you earlier, all right? When you slice somebody's face off, the skull gets taken down, and it's nice and flat over here.
How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
For the next title we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, at first it bugged me. I felt like it was kind of gimmicky, like an unnecessary part of the manga.
Is this the face being cut off?
No, this book.
Oh.
But then I decided I was being racist. So, I like it.
Be nice. Wow.
I don't know how you
guys
feel.
You're covering up your racism.
I think what it all came down to was the instructions for all of the Japanese Air Force in World War II were written left to right.
Really?
Not right to left. I got very confused.
Oh. Watch him. What?
Would you say picking this up?
No. I liked how it kind of ended up, so I might buy the next issue, but in general, I didn't think it was that great.
Well, they may fake you out next issue in print.
Yeah.
Left to right.
Could be a different size book.
I don't like that. I don't like books that aren't shaped like this. All right, let's move on and talk about the latest issue of Amazing Spider-Man number 557.
Yeah, let's do it!
Okay, here we go.
I think the art on this is great.
Yes, the art on this is great.
Chris Pacciolo. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Chris Pacciolo is great. Yeah.
Oh, I think Chris Pacciolo is brilliant.
And is art here a lot of times?
Wish you was drawing the X-Men.
Wish you guys could see this.
Yeah.
It's really good.
A lot of times. A lot of times.
Show them a splash page. Come on.
Okay. You guys
All right.
Yeah,
basically, what's going on is Spidey is trapped in a...
That was you guys faking that.
Spidey is trapped in a blizzard with a Mayan killer death god.
Yeah!
And,
the real splash page.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I really like
you
it.
You like that how every first page is a fake first
I think that's
page
cute.
Of a Daily Bugle?
It's a recap.
It's a cute recap.
Oh, well, my God. Think about it. It's how Newsday is going to look in about 6 months.
Yes.
Follow the news.
Now that the Australians bought it.
Yeah, the whole country.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Though the interesting thing is, with Bloomberg wanting to buy the Times, that'll clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Donald Trump would say, I'll sell you both houses.
It's
some
sort
of can find a way to buy them.
Trump's going to buy the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
Do they still make newspapers?
No, you got to loan them the money.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they're like blogs.
They're all part of
They're like blogs where they make your fingers dry.
Hey, we should talk about this comic.
So anyway.
Spider strapped to a blizzard with a Mayan death god.
This is great. I'm fully on board. This is their 3-week break, and then there's a whole new series of weekly comics with the same Spidey team, plus they're adding people like Mark Waid.
Yeah, that was
Barry Kitson.
Out of the con.
Mark Waid's going to be doing...
Which I think is fun. He's a fun writer, and I think it's a really good fit on it. Your friend Adam Waid is writing it, which is very exciting.
That'll be good.
So here's my problem. I feel like I liked this as like a little break because I didn't like the supervillain that's currently in a cocoon, and hopefully when he comes out this time he won't look horrible.
Who's that?
It's just like his name's Freak.
Basically, he injected himself with all these animal stem cells. So
he's a druggie, he comes back as a new type of animal.
Spider-Man's
gonna beat him by taking him to a meeting, and they're gonna talk and be like, "Hi, my name is Freak, and I have a drug problem." Spider-Man's gonna be like, "Way to go, Freak! I'll see you in a couple months." No, I just feel like this is drawn really well, and I was like, "Okay, this is kind of starting to get the Spider-Man feel a little bit back to it." But I was just upset that they built up this Mayan god as like. Spidey can't, you know, fight him because, you know, he's a god and he can't really stand up to him. So it was like the last 6 pages, Spider-Man, like, threw a web capsule at him. He encompassed him and he just stood there for the last 6 pages as time ran out. And then he disappeared. And I was like, wow, awesome. Great writing.
Wow. Yeah, have a great time telling this to his wife.
Yeah. Wow. I don't want to break any news here.
Should we tell him?
Yeah. Just when we're trying to get past it.
What?
Spider-Man's not married anymore. He's a single dude.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And
why? Something,
because he made the deal with the devil, which makes complete sense. Yay, writer!
I'm so glad this is a comedy show, because if this was real, I'd be real.
None of this is real. Come on, guys.
But seriously, he made a deal with the
devil.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Oh,
that's
really
shit.
I've completely lost track.
Yeah.
No, I think we broke some big news here.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Boy, I'm so glad mutants are sane.
Wow.
Oh, man, we got to move on. Fear Agent number 20. This is one of our favorite books on the show. What do you guys think about this issue?
I love it.
It's awesome, yeah.
Here's the deal with this book is it's very hard to give a plot summary other than it's this drug guy in space. Because
cool, though, right?
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Drunk or drug?
Drunk. Because every single issue, almost, Rick Remender changes the status quo almost completely for the book.
People die.
Totally insane. I don't
got their
know.
Face bit off in this one.
Yeah.
I don't know how he can keep this up because he makes you feel so much for each of the main characters.
I feel
that the
bad.
Next
I feel
issue
bad
he just
this.
Eliminates them in the most horrible ways. Yeah. It's Ooh. Absolutely
everyone's
the
so guilty
darkest
in this
book.
Issue.
The darkest book out right now. Every time you think Heath, the main character, can't get lower, he knocks him down.
The one thing I think is weird is, so in this book, Earth is destroyed and everyone's scattered around the cosmos. Ooh. And this guy, he just has to reach anywhere he is and he pulls out a bottle of Jack Daniels. I think that's convenient. Or the aliens took the Jack Daniels distillery up into space with them and are continuing to mass produce old number 7. At a regular place.
You know way more about Jack Daniels than I do.
I'm hoping to be a drunk guy in space.
Aspiration.
I got to talk to Rick at the con and...
Rick. Get a load of this guy.
Well, he's just as insane as his writing.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, how can you keep this up?
Did he kill you at the end of the conversation?
No, I ran away.
It's true.
I was like, look, Chewbacca.
Which one?
Exactly. There's always a good one and a bad one. You're like, oh.
In any case, Fear Agent is really, really excellent. Highly recommend picking it up. Definitely go back and get the trades.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Another really great book to talk about is Incredible Hercules 116 by Fred Van Lente and Greg Pak.
Yeah.
This book is really fun, right?
Yes, it is. It's great.
Cool. Goodbye.
They're setting up... this book's going to cross over into the whole Secret Invasion thing, which ought to be an interesting kind of corollary to that whole madness. Yeah.
They're forming a god squad to take down the Skrull god, which sounds ridiculous, and they're going to make it totally ridiculous, which I think is kind of the fun part.
What I think is cool about this...
I'm in other dimensions, dude. Our stories have to make sense.
Kind of a slam. Well, this is the big crossover. I mean, you were around during a lot of X-Men crossovers. How did you feel back then about them?
Biggest fucking mistake we ever made.
Really?
You'll get that quote probably from about me, from Weezy,
Wow. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Like drugs, you can't do it just once.
No.
And the more you do, the more you...
You're wasting.
The more you want to come back, and the bigger it has to get, and then certain 6'7" editors in chief come in and flash their royalty checks and smile and say, "We're going to do this again," and you just want to shoot it. But
but now you're on an island.
Now I'm on an island.
But what I like about this comic is that I feel like they're really having a lot of fun writing it, and it shows. Like at first, when I heard the premise behind it, I was like, meh.
It's basically Hercules and the 7th smartest boy in the world travel around the country with their coyote.
The what smartest boy?
7th smartest boy.
See, that pitch didn't sell me, but actually the comic
really?
Is a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think the thing that's really great about it is they weave in
very well
the Greek myths involving Hercules into every single book.
Oh,
that's
smart.
So it's very smart. It works very well. This issue in particular deals with, and this is going to be a ridiculous statement, but how true is myth, at least when you're dealing with gods in the Marvel Universe? And I think that's kind of an interesting question to ask, and they deal with it really effectively. So,
I want to know why there are no Asian men represented.
I would imagine because a lot of the writers don't know them.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a book called Crossing Midnight, actually, Mike Carey does for Vertigo, which deals a lot with Asian myths, and it's excellent.
But that's Vertigo.
That is Vertigo.
There's one on the Godspot.
Oh, is there?
There's one. Yeah. There's one Asian on the Godspot. Congratulations!
There's also a Canadian god.
Yeah.
Diversity.
Yeah.
That would be a first.
Yeah.
Someone, audience member takes a water bottle to the head.
All right, let's move on and talk about Powers Annual number one. This is actually the first issue of Powers that has ever been written by Mike Oeming.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. Bendis and Oeming have done the series since the beginning. Bendis provides, I think, the beginning and the end, but otherwise the bulk of it is by Oeming. And the bulk of it is a caveman grunting.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Looks like he was writing my life story.
Who thought of this story?
I think Oeming did, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Just wondering, because if it was Bendis, that would explain a lot.
Yeah.
I'll just write the front and back page, and you can write the middle.
Yeah.
This issue basically is calling back to an issue earlier in the series where it was like Powers, but they were inexplicably monkeys. People loved that issue, loved it. And this is coming back to that. It's just in the middle of, there was one issue in the middle where suddenly it was monkeys that vaguely looked like them and it was never explained. This issue, they're now cavemen that kind of look like the main characters and it's never really explained.
I don't want to spoil for you, but I think they are the main characters.
What?
No, I think that's what they're setting up.
Yes,
here.
I mean, that's
Dan,
what
I was hoping
towards.
You were going to say, and they're explained.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but I think that's what they're getting towards is that there's some things that have never been explained about the characters and there's some sort of immortal god thing going on, whatever it is.
I think
see,
Marvel's...
I take that position with my stuff. All I get are letters saying, you son of a bitch, you never explain anything.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah.
So much for humor.
Well,
yeah.
well, with this book, the issue, we read this first online, because we were reviewing it earlier, and then getting it in my hands, I was like, it's so much better. It made me really, it solidified this issue especially, how much I love reading them.
Is that the marvelous thing about three dimensions?
Yeah, exactly. You know, how they're like 7 by 8.5? Am I right?
That's great.
And that's not even metric.
Yeah.
But Marvel's going to do the same thing with Marvel apes, right? They're just going to make all the superheroes apes and not
joking, right?
Some sort of ape man in the audience.
No, but actually this weekend, the sequel to Marvel Zombies is Marvel Apes.
So they were like, the zombies worked. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I want Marvel dinosaurs.
Just think of the covers. They're going to do hundreds of ape covers of famous Marvel
masters. Tropical fish.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I
can't wait. This is gonna be great.
Stupid.
I'm gonna go bananas for it.
Oh,
yeah! That's the sky, everybody. Always have done a high note. That's what I always tell these guys.
That was a boo, not a laughter.
That
right?
was a woo. I
swear to God, if I wake up in 5 minutes and it's 1969 and I'm in Bard College and it was a really rough night down the road, and some idiot was passing out free drugs, I'm going to track you down.
We weren't for that.
Then I will track you down even harder.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go on with our next section, which is my favorite section, because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions, and for that we're going to bring out Booth Mag.
Yeah! I love you!
Finally!
Right?
What? Getting weird looks from here. Here's some questions that the audience wrote for you guys, okay?
Hey, cool.
Thank you guys. So, number one. Stop.
Well, keep in mind, you didn't have to look a second time.
I like how the glasses came out.
Followed the DC Crisis. How do I get into it now?
Wow.
Don't.
Was that somebody who was falling down a
cliff? The easiest way is you take the comic, You lie it down and you do this.
Yeah. Slowly over.
Sequentially.
There you go. Sequentially.
To answer that, I would say don't worry about it. You haven't missed a whole lot, to be fair. Just start. No, really. Buy countdown one tomorrow and just read the rest of it.
Don't even buy countdown one tomorrow.
Well, buy countdown zero, right? They're
gonna have to I mean, I think what. Seriously, what I would say, Final Crisis, if you're really interested in following it, the only thing you're going to need to read is Final Crisis. Most likely, if there's something else you want to read, pick up Grant Morrison's Seven Soldiers, just because there's going to be touches of it in there. Also, it's an excellent series. There's nothing else you need, and you should just read Seven Soldiers anyway, because it's good. That's
or just come here in like 6 months and we'll tell you what happened.
He has a question. If it's Final Crisis, does the company go out of business when it's over?
Yeah, sure. Unless someone buys it, they will go out of business.
No, there's been a number of crises leading up to this Final Crisis, so no.
But yeah, if there's a subsequent crisis, then you can't really call it Final Crisis.
We've been counting down, it's, you don't want to know.
They're going to have to move on and find a different word. But really, that's all they have to do. Because like you're saying, there will always be crossovers like this. They just can't call it a crisis.
Is it a paradigm for the Democratic presidential nomination?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Pete, you know politics.
Yes.
Well, we'll find out later tonight.
That's true. But is that Final Crisis, or will it be a sequel?
The sequel takes place in a couple other states.
There we go.
A few more weeks.
Yeah.
The never-ending story strikes back.
That answered your question, right?
Perfect.
Okay, is there a DC character that you would like to write?
Let's see, I wrote Superman, wrote Batman, wrote the Justice League, wrote one of them.
Another one.
The Fishing of Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
Green Lantern?
No, I wrote him. Her. It. Them. Maybe.
Nice.
How about Blue Beetle?
Is he a DC card?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we sold him! Yeah!
We were here
that
first.
Wasn't okay, yes, that
he's
was okay.
Right. Get this man a contract!
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. Call the deal.
That's why we call Pete the Closer.
On the other hand, if anyone would like to make me a really substantial offer, I'm sure something could be arranged.
Sure.
Get out of the
that's a money offer.
Don't say lines like that around working writers. You may find yourself in a whole lot of trouble.
Not with that cod piece.
Oh. Is it a cod piece?
Exactly.
You don't have many working writers, do you?
No, I don't.
True. Okay, here's
next question.
Who was your favorite X-Men collaborator?
I like working with Justin.
Yeah, we had a little X-Men short play series up in Williamstown this past summer. It wasn't well reviewed.
It was called The Importance of Being Jubilee.
It was very, anyway, what were we talking about?
I think that was a question for you, maybe.
Yeah.
Huh?
Who have you enjoyed working with?
Yeah. Oh,
jeez. Wheezy.
Thank you. But she's not an artist. Oh, but she's an editor. She's
collaborator.
Better. That's, thank you. Sorry, that's my name.
Weasel.
Cool.
Cool. Because she comes with a really great artist attached. Ah. So, Wheezy, Walter, it's a perfect match.
Go ahead. Who do you think is the best writer of X-Men in the past 20 years other than yourself?
Ooh. Spicy.
Stan.
Okay.
Or Roy.
Or
Roy.
Okay.
Or Danny. Archie did. That what? Sorry.
Not Joss. Reed.
Uh-oh.
Loved Serenity.
Right? Great movie.
Oh, sorry, I meant the TV show. Movie was great, too.
The TV show was good.
I want to see what happens next. It's really annoying.
I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah, I don't think
well, they actually...
He's not doing Wonder Woman now. He could do it.
There's a series out now that fills in the gap between the end of Firefly and the movie. which you can read a little bit, but you already know what happens to a lot of the characters. So it's not as
funny.
Yeah.
They all show up on Buffy.
Yeah. Now that's a crossover.
Stranger things have happened.
One more question.
Sure. Zombie Strippers the movie. Yes or no, Pete?
Well, it's funny. Do you ask this because we were on the Jenna Jameson panel?
I think that's probably what I got asked.
Well,
but you're filling it for people. We moderated a panel this weekend. Jenna Jameson.
I love the sound of my voice.
I tell this really well. So.
No, Alex, I got it from here. We were moderating a panel.
They were moderating a panel of women in comics, which included...
Here's the thing, is it was a women in cast.
Oh, my God's sake.
Well,
I know. It was a women who kick ass panel. We were asked, they said, hey, do you guys want to moderate this panel? We're like, really? You want three guys to moderate a panel called Women That Kick Ass? They're like, totally.
It'll be
hilarious. And they're like, all right, fine, we'll do it. We're going to ask some really interesting questions. And there were supposed to be a bunch of people that showed up. The people that showed up were Jenna Jameson and Amanda Connor, and that was it.
Yeah.
So
it was us. We were there.
Jenna Jameson, Amanda Connor, and three dudes on stage tried to discuss why women kick ass in comics.
It was confusing.
She did say her movie was very, very funny.
We saw a brief clip, which made no sense, I will say.
The clip was Jenna comes out as a stripper, and just as she's about to do anything, a guy comes, I assume it's a guy, maybe a zombie, comes flying out of the air, tackles her, and that was the clip.
It was pretty bad.
And then she walked out, and people were like...
I will say, the dudes at this panel were insane. Throughout the whole... I'm in a lot of guys' pictures. I will be soon to be cropped out of a lot of guys' pictures of Jenna Jameson, because I'm standing right next to her.
They're going
to
copy Jenna's head and put it on your body.
Oh, I already have a bunch of those of you guys. Is that weird?
I sent them to you.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, we stopped talking about this.
You just explained why there are 60,000 people at the convention this week.
There wasn't many people at that panel. It wasn't like that.
In any case, Zombie Strippers, no, not going to be good. There's your answer.
Don't see that.
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be like so bad it's good, like Showgirls. Showgirls. Hey, go ahead.
All right, I think that's it for your audience questions. Yay! Thank you. Yay! Yay! Always leave it on a high note, guys. Our next section is a little section called The Week in Geek.
That's the best that's ever gone.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we have a little something to show you guys. It was revealed this weekend at the New York Comic Con. It's the teaser for the new movie of Will Eisner's The Spirit. So enjoy. Samuel Jackson, Scarlett Johansson, Eva Mendes. And
yeah, they like nine women, and then Samuel Jackson and the main
one. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing about this teaser. They showed it at the Spirit panel on Saturday, I think. I don't know how true this is, but some guy stopped me on the street literally, and was like, did you go to the spirit panel? And I said, no. And he's like, well, they showed the teaser, the lights came up, and apparently half the audience stood up and walked out.
Wow. It's, yeah.
I almost did that right now.
I believe you. I think it's because it is not the spirit. It's Frank Miller's.
Yeah.
It's like Sin City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, and I agree, I think that's, when was the spirit ever on roofs jumping around?
Yeah, or
and like, why is his tie so crazy?
What'd you guys think about this?
I like all the cats.
Yeah. And you're a crazy cat.
I feel like, and also the cell phone ring.
Like one cat, mostly.
I thought you were like, you know it.
Yeah, what? It's true.
What's the limit where you become a crazy cat? Like, 6? Come on.
It's what you do with the cats.
I feel like they have the cell phone ring at the beginning, and it's like, see, it's modern. Like, they have cell phones, and I'm like, why? You're tricking us. You trick us here.
Yeah.
I will not be tricked.
I was just upset because it said spirit, but it didn't, like, use it to make a building or, like, normally, huh?
Oh, I thought you were saying it said spirit, and it wasn't like,
woo. Usually I'm afraid when I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually do agree with you, seriously. That is the biggest problem with it, is that it completely looks like Frank Miller's spirit, and no matter how cool that looks, I can't get over the fact that it doesn't remind me of the actual spirit at all.
Yeah. The city is my mother and my lover?
If you don't know anything about the spirit...
She's my sister and my aunt.
Yeah, she's screaming all the time.
If you don't know anything about the spirit and you like Sin City, you might enjoy this. But if you really like the spirit, then it's kind of a kick in the nuts.
Take that.
What about you guys? Who liked it?
The teaser trailer?
Yeah, the teaser that we just watched.
Nobody.
Wow. Oh, you have a spokesman, audience.
What'd you like about it?
It was interesting. Yeah. I want to see what happens next.
That's fair. It does look
teaser support.
More roof jumping.
Yes. It's stumbling.
I would suspect that since we're a year away from release, and they're probably still filming, and when it first came out, I thought it was actually the second Sin City. Mm-hmm. But the point is that what you're seeing here is just the first sort of comes. We're releasing a film next year. Get interested. So, this is a teaser. You know, if the final 3 weeks, 3 months from release trailer came out looking like that, 2.5 minutes, maybe that might provoke a different reaction. But at this point, I'm curious to see what happens next.
You've been teased.
That's actually, and that's exactly what it's supposed to do.
True. It's definitely controversial, and I think it will.
Also, the amount of people, for better or worse, who've read Will's spirit versus the amount of people who've seen Sin City,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
is probably a somewhat different number.
Right. Very true.
And what you want to do is find a way to convey a sense of interest to both parties and get them all in the door and see what happens next.
True, and rumor has it that it does have a lot of the lighter moments from the book and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to see the movie.
I guess we will continue to be teased.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll pay the electric bill.
That's a big window. all right. That's it for the Week of Geek. Yeah. It is time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we turn it over to our good friend, Pete the Pig.
All right, yeah. All right, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. What we have here is an opportunity for someone to win $25 free in the form of a gift certificate to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Simply raise your hand. And you can come down. There you go. Come on down. What's your name, sir?
James.
James, audience? Audience James.
Hello.
We'll put this gift card here. Maybe it'll be yours.
Maybe.
Okay,
maybe.
Here we go.
Sorry.
So we're good. So today's trivia is on the Uncanny X-Men. Here we go. Uncanny X-Men remains as Marvel Comics' only Silver Age title to retain its consecutive issue numbering. Wow, I fucked that up. Here we go. Uncanny X-Men remains Marvel Comics' only Silver Age title to retain its consecutive issue numbering since conception. And it's over what number? So it's the only comic of it's basically the only comic.
Give it to me. Come on, I got that one.
It's basically, I know, but it's. I think it's an interesting point. It's the only comic. All right. It's over what number? A, 800, B, 500, or C, counting is racist. So it's either A, 800, B, 500, and we know it's not C.
So B?
Correct! Basically the only comic that still hasn't started back off at one, like he was saying earlier.
Can you read the question again?
The original five X-Men were Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Angel, and is it either A, Iceman, B, Mimic, or C, Sergeant Slaughter?
Is it Iceman?
Yes, it is! Two for two! Here we go. The Uncanny X-Men dropped the article "the" from the title in what year? Was it A, 2001, B, 2002, or C, Columbus Sailed the Ocean Blue? So it's either A, 2001, B, 2002, and, well, we know. It's not C.
That is so 21st century. Shame on
you. B is correct! Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay!
Oh, boy!
You flew too close to the sun.
All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow? Eliza, why don't we start with you?
Can I say Girls of Corpses magazine? That was the thing that jumped out at me. Because, you know, nothing a girl who reads comic books, nothing you like more than Girls of Corpses. And, yeah. What? Is that wrong? Is that too political?
No, it's a published work.
Yeah, it's a big political issue.
Yeah, that came up in the Obama-Clinton debate.
Hillary is actually losing because of the corpse vote.
Yeah.
it was her mistake to make. Yeah.
Chris, you have a title coming out tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Exiles.
Yes.
Fifth issue. Wow. Lasted 5 issues.
How do we do it?
Hey, you know, we've had 3 in a row that didn't go back to press. This is depressing.
Wow.
You know, the first 2 did, but then we broke our string.
Well, what's coming up? What will force these people to buy this issue?
Force them.
Beyond the fact that we're going to physically drag them.
Well, I was wondering, yeah.
It's really, really good.
There. Sold.
And for those of you who are fans of Kitty Pryde, well, my version, this version anyway,
Alice,
she's in it. Morph is in it. And Sage is in it.
First time.
Having a bath.
Oh!
Dirty.
Don't.
No, she's dirty.
It's actually a Spanish artist, and God knows he's European, and
nipples abound.
No,
nipples ahoy.
We have the most.
That's for me.
But we do have the most tactful placement of a bird in flight that you have ever seen. Not to mention, not to mention the most gratuitous use of shadows on a full frontal karate kick that,
wow.
Yeah, it was just like, this is a code book, right? No, we don't do the code anymore. Oh, God.
Anything.
That's what I'm saying. So, no, there are artists who will take that seriously.
I've never seen a nipple. Birds fly in front of women's breasts. In real life.
I gotta tell you. The bird is actually nowhere near the. She's wearing a t-shirt, but it's a very short shirt.
Oh.
Tactical. But
I don't know about that part at all.
So there is a reason to buy the issue.
Sold. Back to print.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Batman 675 is coming out tomorrow. It's the first part of the Batman RIP arc. Here's a spoiler, Batman's not going to die. But regardless, Grant Morrison doing interesting things on title, I'm curious to see where he's going to go.
But that's the first thing he said when he was being interviewed, that Batman RIP, Batman dies.
The first thing. What do you mean?
When he was talking to John at the Comic Con, he was like, "So Batman RIP," and he was like, "Yep, the title means exactly what it says. He's going to die." And then John was like, "No, they can't." And then he immediately shut up. He's like, I think he was probably kidding, but
I think the key face to examine at a question like that is Paul Levitz. See, if Paul is calm and smiling, then you suspect, okay, Grant's just having you on. If Paul is turning all sorts of odd and disturbing colors and jumping up and down, and the muscles on his neck are getting more and more tense, and there are like 16 very big guys getting between him and Grant, or getting around Grant with large pointed objects, then maybe there's something to it.
Wow.
Which one was it?
Yeah. Cons aren't like that.
Yeah, that was the pointed objects one.
I'm looking forward to Checkmate number 25. I'm really worried this book's going to get canceled soon, and I love it.
What is Checkmate?
It's a DC book about kind of a
ragtag bunch.
There's a bit of ragtag in there. It's kind of separate from
about people.
Yeah,
there's people in it, and they do stuff.
It's a lot of politics in it with superheroes mixed in. It's good. They spend a lot of time in China, so they are kind of taking the DC. And I like it, Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
He wrote it for a long time.
It's tough to pick just one. I'm going to go with X-Force, Hulk, and Hackslash. I didn't pick one.
Are you going to pick up, there's a special X-Force number 3 Bloody Variant.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Sucker.
All right, a little bit of housekeeping before we go. Next week, we are going to have Kevin Conroy on the show. He is the voice of Batman.
Oh, yeah! We're going to make him say a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
like
you're basically going to sit here for a solid hour and be like, say you're Batman.
Yeah.
Cool, say it again. That's pretty much the whole show, so look forward to that. Also, you can check us out 3 times a week at pulpsecret.com. We have a bunch of great interviews going up from Comic-Con. You can check it out there and also on Newsarama. There's a couple...
Game it.
Cool.
All right, couple of people. A lot of thanks, Chris, for being on the show. Most of all, I want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you,
everybody.